several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
Oh, honey, if you were here, I would so peel you a grape. That'd be the greatest privilege in the world. It's David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio coming to you from the super secret broadcast location. Though I must admit with a little trepidation today because I feel a little bit like a hypocrite. John, are you near a mic, please?
I am.
Producer John. John, I feel like I need to make a confession on the air today because I'm feeling guilty sitting here.
Here we go into the wine confessional.
Oh, well, yeah, and I'll tell you what, nothing will make you confess things faster than wine. But do you remember last week when we were having a discussion with Matt Dubow and we were talking wine etiquette? And one of the things that I made the biggest deal about was the idea that when you go into a restaurant, you order a bottle of wine, sometimes, very rarely, but sometimes the wine steward or the server, usually just a server, will bring you the bottle already uncorked. And I hate that, and I almost always send the wine back. And I made a big stink about it last week. I said, send it back. You know, that they need to open it in front of you. That's how it's done. That's the process.
That was a point that you and the gadget guy both agreed on.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So last night, I go to a restaurant with a friend that I really like. Nice people, great food. And I was looking at the wine list, and there was a wine that I wasn't real sure I had had before that was offered both by the bottle and by the glass. Okay? So I thought, you know, I'm going to see if maybe they'll just give me a little taste of it to see if I like it, and then I would get the whole bottle. And I like when you have that opportunity. And the server agreed to do that and came back and actually brought out almost a full glass of wine. That was some taste. And it was very good, and I went ahead and I ordered the bottle. So a few minutes later, guess what?
I'll bet the bottle showed up uncorked.
That is exactly what happened. Well, actually, it had a beautiful pewter stopper in it. And she said to me, she says, I hope you don't mind, but when I got your taste, I had to open a fresh bottle. And so I'm just bringing you the rest of the bottle. And so now I'm really torn because she's very nice. The wine is good. The people are nice. And I just let it slide.
You didn't send it back.
No, I didn't because, it really goes against my principles. And I guess I made the right decision because what happened a little later on, the owner of the restaurant comes by. He picks up my glass and my guest's glass, takes them away, their full glasses, and brings back an even better bottle of wine. And that, I think, was God saying, you know what, son? You need to be flexible.
That sounds like you got the best of both worlds.
And
you
I'm not even...
Try, you got to try what you wanted to try.
Yeah.
They didn't stick you for any more in the check, did they?
No, I came out doubly good. And he sent the rest of the second bottle home with me, too. So I think I did the right thing. Although I'm not Catholic, I did feel a need to confess today.
The wine gods are always shining on you, David.
Oh my gosh, heck yeah. You know, I feel cleansed. Well, anyway, you know, one thing that was interesting, when they brought that bottle of wine out, it had a pewter stopper in it, and it was beautiful, and you don't see that very often. And how coincidental that on today's show, Matt and I are going to talk about bottle stoppers and the fact that these are the new collectible item. You know, people used to collect shot glasses and Beanie Babies and what, those little stupid silver spoons, you know, that I never had in my mouth. But now the big thing is bottle stoppers. So we're going to talk about that later on in the show. We're going to go from bottle stoppers to showstoppers, because there's a subject area that I've been wanting to get into for a long time, and it's the enormous number of celebrities that are now making wine. It's just absolutely amazing how many celebrities are attaching their name to wine. We're going to have on in just a little bit Benford Stanley, and he is a guy who is connecting celebrities and causes with winemakers, and his whole story is really cool. And he hobnobs with the likes of Willie Nelson and Clint Eastwood. Anyway, this guy's he's doing some very interesting things. Also on the show today, we're going to have Paul Cullen, and he was the bass player in the second generation of Bad Company. He's making some great wine. So all in all, a great show. But to just set up the whole thing, of course, our ace reporter, Paul Crosswhite, is going to give us an overview of wine and celebrity.
They go together like sugar and cornflakes, celebrities and winemaking, or if you will, Hollywood and vine, in the most literal sense. Many of today's rich and famous are getting their hands dirty and have some fine wines to show for it. Exhibit A, Hollywood power couple Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They've taken over a winery in the south of France. Chateau Miraval is home to the new Bradgelina Brew. The property includes 75 acres of organic vineyards, a 35-room mansion complete with a moat, and a studio used by Pink Floyd to record their landmark album, The Wall. Meantime, soccer superstar David Beckham didn't give wife Victoria a bottle of wine for her 34th birthday a few years ago. Instead, he provided Posh with her very own vineyard. They plan to bottle Chateau Posh wine up in Napa, but only for use by family and friends. Now, the celebrity winemaking link is not new, but dates back thousands of years. The famous philosophers of Greece and Rome had their own wineries. It seems, though, that the latest trend owes a lot to the godfather of film, Francis Ford Coppola. In 1975, his pockets flush with profits from Godfather I, Coppola did what any self-respecting young Italian-American millionaire would do. He bought a vineyard in California's wine country. Not just any plot, but part of the legendary Inglenook estate. Coppola, whose family has a long history of winemaking, went on to become one of the great pioneers of modern California wine. His brand is known today as Rubicon Estate and is producing excellent reds organically grown. Maynard James Keenan, lead singer of the rock band Tool, is breaking new ground in northern Arizona with his label Caduceus Wines, turning out Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, and other varietals. Keenan admits he's got a lot to learn, but is committed to proving that northern Arizona's climate is as ideal for winemaking as southern Europe's. Speaking of which, Tuscany is home to a 900-acre estate maintained by Sting, who's producing organic wines under the Sister Moon label. Jurassic Park star Sam Neill makes Pinot Noir at his Two Paddocks vineyard in New Zealand. Neill calls it a fun hobby, but adds it is a ridiculously time- and money-consuming business. French actor Gerard Depardieu has tended his vineyards in Bordeaux since the 1980s. Comedian Tommy Smothers owns California's exclusive Remick Ridge Vineyards. And the list of celebrities with wine connections goes on and on. Johnny Depp, Madonna, the Rolling Stones, Mario Andretti, even dead stars like Elvis and Raymond Burr. All this is good for business. In one recent year, sales of celebrity wines in the U.S. rose by 19%. So why are stars so powerfully drawn to the wine industry? For openers, they have the money. Launching a winery is not cheap. Also, winemaking gives the creative soul an outlet, one more big stage to perform on. Plus, even the rich and famous crave prestige, and a great way to obtain that is to pour your own private label at the next big party. Having a vineyard can also bring tax benefits. Some celebs just lend their names to wines, while some go all the way to become true hands-on vintners. Other celebrities leverage their name recognition as a selling tool in the wine industry. Critics seem to agree, though, that most stars are not just in it for the money, but really love the world of wine. One expert, UC Davis Wine Education Director Robert Smiley, was asked why celebrities run wineries. His reply, because they're wine connoisseurs, or think they are. Grape Encounters views this as a healthy trend. Celebrities, after all, place a high value on their fans' opinions. Well, they obsess. The last thing they want is to make a product that is displeasing. You can bet that if there are famous fingerprints on that bottle, there's likely to be some good wine inside. Uncorked, I'm Paul Crosswhite for Grape Encounters.
Even if you've only listened to Grape Encounters Radio for a short time, you know that I have something of an obsession about the relationship between rock and roll music and wine drinking. So how fortunate are we that a few weeks ago, my path crossed with that of the former bass player of the legendary rock band Bad Company. Turns out Paul Cullen, second generation band member, now is a winemaker, and he's making some extraordinary wines, and he joins us next on Grape Encounters Radio.
The glass is still half full, and there's a lot more in the bottle. It's Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
David Wilson's been telling you for months now about the Vinair Wine Aerator. He swears by it as one of the must-have products for anyone who loves wine. Vinair incorporates art and style while expediting the process of aerating your favorite wine. The award-winning design gives each and every glass of wine enhanced flavors and superior bouquets. Simply pour your next glass of wine through the Vinair Wine Aerator. You'll hear the air gently aerating your wine in seconds, and you'll smell and taste the difference. Grape Encounters' David Wilson has tried various products, but has never found one that he likes as much as the Vinair. That's V-I-N-A-I-R-E. Other devices can leave a mess all over your counter. There's no drip with Vinair. It conveniently sits on top of the bottle when you're through using it. If you'd like to learn more about how aeration improves the flavor of a newly opened bottle of wine, visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the Vinair link. You're going to love this product.
A little over a year and a half ago, I was doing some wine tasting in Los Olivos, California, and I accidentally wandered into a new tasting room called Sarlos & Sons, and at the time I couldn't even pronounce the name. But boy, can I pronounce it now, because the Sarlos family has become great friends with Grape Encounters Radio. And not only are they a great family to know, they make some of the best wines that I've ever tasted, and they are staples in my household. So I want to steer you over to SarlosAndSons.com, because if you're looking for wines that you can buy that you know are going to be absolutely fabulous, then this is the place to go. No matter what you pay for their wines, I guarantee you that you will find an absolutely outstanding value at Sarlos & Sons. There's not a single wine on their wine list that will disappoint you. This is really, really something that I can recommend with all my heart and soul. It's SarlosAndSons.com. The Sarlos wines are absolutely out of this world.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at CatalinaVacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at CatalinaVacations.com.
And it's David Wilson here with Brooks Firestone and Stephen Pepe, and we wanted to tell you about the Cellar Classic. It's coming up when, Brooks?
July 30th. At the St. Mark's Church in Los Olivos, in the middle of the wine country in Santa Ynez Valley. We're going to have a wine classic auction and a great time up here. Hope you join us.
And there's going to be some great stuff. Steve, tell them what they can expect.
Got to have some really world-class wines. You've got a 47 Cheval Blanc, a 75 Chateau.
Whoa, I thought that was for me.
No, I'm sorry, David. You can just look at it and drool, but you can't have it.
And that bottle's worth what?
It's easily in the mid four figures, if not higher.
Ouch. And how many wines like that will you have at the Cellar Classic?
We'll have a fair number. We've also got a 1949 Leroy Moussonet which is a very rare wine. We've got a double magnum of a 1989 Diamond Creek Volcanic Hill.
It's the Cellar Classic on July 30th. For more information, go to grapeencountersradio.com and click on the very expensive little button there.
You're not daydreaming. You're just having a grape encounter on grapeencountersradio.com.
It's all part of my rock and roll fantasy.
And it's David Wilson with more Grape Encounters Radio. You know, my next guest is a guy who really had his rock and roll fantasy fulfilled. He was an aspiring musician trying to make it to the top when one day, as luck would have it, he meets a couple of players from the legendary rock band Bad Company. They needed a bass player. He got the job, and the rest is history. Paul Cullen toured with Bad Company in the 90s, fulfilled his rock and roll fantasy. Actually, he's still playing. But you know, once you've had your rock and roll fantasy fulfilled, what do you dream about next? Well, for Paul, it was making wine, and that's exactly what he's doing today. This is the kind of story we love on Grape Encounters Radio. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Well, David, first of all, thanks for having me. And second, you know, it was while I was in Bad Company, that's how I got turned on to wine, especially red. Mick Ralphs, the guitar player, was a big Chateauneuf de Pape fan from France, of course. And we were sitting in the back of the tour bus, and he, on our way from one gig to another, and he popped a bottle, and we sat there and drank the whole thing together, and I've been a huge fan of wine ever since.
Yeah, come on, Paul, that doesn't even feel right. A bunch of rockers going across the country in those beautiful coaches, and you're drinking wine in the back. I would have thought Jack Daniels for sure, or something like
well,
that.
Well, to be honest, we did have Jack Daniels and Absolut Vodka and about five cases of Corona. And, of course, Gatorade for in the morning.
And I'm guessing you didn't obey any of the rules which pertain to mixing those different alcohols.
You mean there was rules?
What are we out of? Let's go on to the next one.
Exactly, yep.
So, you know, it's so interesting to me to see how many people who are artists, you know, whether it be actors or musicians that are getting into the wine business, and you now have your own label. Tell me what's going on there. Now, first of all, you're not in California. You're all the way on the East Coast, living a very peaceful life there.
Yeah, I actually live in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, which is the very southernmost part of Delaware. And just for those people who don't know and don't remember, Delaware is actually a state.
Well, it is, yeah.
I've had to correct people on that, especially people from the Southeast. I live here in Delaware. I live in a sleepy sort of resort town. I came here on vacation 10 years ago. In fact, 10 years ago, in about a week, it'll be 10 years. And I never left other than to go back to Buffalo and pick up my stuff and head this way.
All right. Well, let's talk about the wines, first of all. The wines are not, of course, Delaware wines. You're actually making your wines in California, right?
That's correct. Yep. I did a lot of research. I did a lot of tasting, which was really hard. I think we tasted over pretty close to 300 wines, you know, when we decided to do our own wine label. And I actually was on vacation a couple years ago in Tahoe, Lake Tahoe in the southern South Tahoe area.
Right.
And we took a day off because we hadn't skied in like 18 years, so our bodies were hurting pretty bad. And we went down the mountain on the California side and hit a bunch of wineries, and I think we hit 8 or 10 wineries within a couple days.
Ooh,
and the one, Drytown Cellars, where I'm getting my wine from, it was one of the places that we hit.
And you got the bug.
Yeah, you know, I've been dabbling in the business for about 4 or 5 years now. I did some stuff with St. Supery from Napa,
yeah.
Which they have some great wines.
Absolutely.
And Michael and David, of course, we know them with Seven Deadly Zins. In fact, I wrote a song off the poem that's on the back of the bottle for Seven Deadly Zins. So I dabbled a bit in the business. My tagline and my company name is Unplugged and Uncorked. And I knew that the music and wine thing could always work really well together, especially me because I play nylon string acoustic, sort of jazzy, cool, Latin-y sort of stuff.
Okay, well, let's talk about that music and wine connection for a second. We've talked about this a lot on Grape Encounters, the fact that there really is a connection between wine and music. In fact, we've quoted some studies here that talk about what the effect of listening to certain types of music has on your perception of wine, you know, and it turns out that gosh, if you listen to music that's played in a minor key and drink cabs, that cab's going to taste as much as 60% better. Do you buy into that?
You know what? I don't know about that. To me, you know, it certainly could be true. I haven't tested it on that level. I just know drinking it, playing, while I'm playing music, drinking it works. While I'm listening to music, drinking it works. When we have friends over and we have wine, food, and music, it all works. So for me, that's how it works. I'm not on the technical side of it.
Yeah. We are talking to Paul Cullen, former bass player for Bad Company, and Paul has his own wine label. And also, Paul, I guess you're very actively touring right now. You've been doing this for what, 2.5 decades, 3 decades?
Yeah, I've been a bass player since 1980, and I was fortunate enough to meet the guys in Bad Company in the late 80s, and they lived in the area where I lived down in Florida, in Fort Myers, Florida, and you know, somehow it happened. They asked me if I wanted to audition for their band. Of course, I said yes.
So you're sitting there, your jaw dropping, I imagine.
Oh yeah, it was incredible. I got lucky. In our little area in Fort Myers, I had the number one band in town, and we had our songs being played on the radio. And you know, we were playing, you know, 5-6 nights a week. Well, the singer from Bad Company, the bass player and singer from AC/DC, Cliff and Brian, they lived in the area, so whenever they went out, they came and saw our band because they knew that they could, you know, hear a good band, and they would end up sitting in and having a good time. And, you know, we end up, you know, any given night we could be doing an AC/DC song with Brian Johnson from AC/DC singing it.
So let's talk about what you're doing now and how you tie your music into the wine that you're making. Are you pairing these in the places that you go and the performances that you do? I mean, in other words, is it wine and music often together?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I have special events where I do it, and then the restaurants and clubs that I play carry my wine. So, you know, I'll play some music, talk about the wine, and I have a plethora of chefs from the area that are really good friends of mine. I'd love to cook myself, and not on their level, but you know, they pair the foods with the wines, and we just have a really nice time. And it is like an unplugged event, you know, like MTV started with, you know, where I'll play some music, talk about the wine, you know, they ask me questions about Bad Company, I talk about that, then we have the food comes, and we talk about that, and how it pairs well with the wine, and so it's you know, a full event of food, wine, and music.
So tell us where we can find your wines, and give me the whole lowdown, and
okay.
you've got a good website as well.
This whole process, I started about a year ago, and of course, you got to apply with the government, and of course, that doesn't take a long time. only took me 6 months to get my permit to be able to wholesale to all 50 states.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I just got that in January, at the end of January, beginning of February. So, you know, once I got that, then I went full bore, and I designed the labels myself. And actually, it's a shadowed out picture of me on the label. I figured if I wanted my picture on a wine label, I actually had to have my own wine label. So
there you go.
That was one of the reasons I did that.
Oh.
But so then we, you know, of course, again, the labels have to be approved by the government. And in the meantime, we're tasting 300 wines. We picked the two that we wanted to start out with, and which was a Pinot Grigio from Drytown Cellars, and then we have a really cool blend of Syrah, Zin, and Cab Franc.
Oh, so awesome. So, again, the website that people can find out all about your products is?
Yep, it's unpluggedanduncorked.com.
Unpluggedanduncorked.com.
Yep.
Oh, Paul, very cool having you on the show. I really appreciate it. You know what we're going to do is we're going to grab some of your wines, and I think we're going to do a little tasting on Grape Encounters and play a little Bad Company music while we do it. And we'll play some of your new music as well, just a little bit of both. And can we get you back on the line when we do that?
Oh, sure. I'd love to do. In fact, I'm working on doing a tasting at the end of the month where we're going to do an online tasting on Skype with people that are going to buy it from, like, all over the United States.
Oh, man, count us in. And you need to get to work on the Grape Encounters theme song for us as well.
Oh, I can do that.
Awesome.
Okay, great.
Oh, we would really love that. Hey, Paul, thanks very much. Paul Cullen.
David, thank you so much for having me.
I always love it when somebody writes a new song about wine. There's definitely a shortage of wine songs. That is Paul Cullen's Seven Deadly Zins. We're going to go from rock and roll to country as we continue with more Grape Encounters Radio.
Where fermented meets demented. Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Great products and services for the wine-loving community is something we love telling you about on Grape Encounters Radio. And at the top of our list is the Original Wine of the Month Club. They've been around since 1972 and offer many great discounts, cellar master reviews, amazing assortments, and gift baskets. And it's easy to set up a gift membership for a wine lover near and dear to you. Visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the link from the homepage. That's where you'll also find the special promo code and save 15%. Another fun product on the GrapeEncountersRadio.com site is the Wine Rack from Papa Bird. The Wine Rack is a sports bra that you can fill with your favorite wine, enjoy your favorite beverage, and enhance your figure, ladies. A special promo code is available from our homepage. Click through, use it, and save 10% just for being part of the Grape Encounters Radio family. Don't miss out on any of the other great deals available to you when you visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Hey, listen, if you guys want to discover some really amazing wines, wines that I recommend with all my heart and soul, then you need to go over to sarlosandsons.com. Or better yet, if you're in Los Olivos, California, you just want to check out their tasting room because it's an incredible place to taste some incredible wines. They've just released the 2009 Mother, which is a Grenache Blanc that will blow your shorts off. Also, the 2009 In-Law, which is a whole cluster Pinot Noir, which is to die for. Also, the 2008 Father, which is 100% Syrah, and I love, love, love the Sarlos & Sons Syrahs, or the 2008 Sun, which is 100% estate-grown Cabernet. And finally, the 1947 Man and Wife, which is 100% estate-grown from two vineyards. That's just a part of the list. There are so many more wines for you to enjoy, but I can tell you absolutely and completely that you will love everything you taste at Sarlos & Sons. It's sarlosandsons.com.
You know, the world of Facebook is a lot like the world of Grape Encounters. Millions of people creating community and camaraderie through shared interests and connections. And honestly, who in their right mind doesn't love wine? That's why Grape Encounters Radio has created a group space for you to share your passion. If you're on Facebook and you have yet to join the Grape Encounters Radio group page, what are you waiting for? Thousands of your closest soon-to-be friends are there meeting others, having fun, sharing your own discoveries and experiences, and inspiring us with questions and ideas that help to make each new edition of Grape Encounters Radio the place to gather for a conversation among the wine-loving community. It's easy to join, and the price is right. It's free. All it takes is just a couple of moments of your time the next time you log into Facebook. Just enter Grape Encounters Radio into the search field, and there you are. And once you're our friend on Facebook, share the wealth. Let your family, friends, colleagues, and others who love wine know about your discovery, too. Many of the guests you enjoy hearing on Grape Encounters Radio made their way to the super secret broadcast location by way of our Facebook group page. Will you be next?
Hi, it's David Wilson with Grape Encounters Radio, and you know, when I'm not up in wine country, my absolute favorite place, and I mean favorite place to go, is beautiful, enchanting Catalina Island. My goodness, if you haven't been to Catalina lately, you just don't know what you're missing. Catalina is a very wine-friendly island. All the restaurants have great wine lists, and Catalina even has its own vineyard now. Now, when I go to Catalina, I stay with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You can tour nearly 200 properties at CatalinaVacations.com. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals has everything you could want for every taste, from quaint cottages in Avalon to beautiful, stunning Hamilton Cove villas that even come with your own golf cart. You can make your reservation right online at CatalinaVacations.com, and really, the choices are nearly endless. Get away to Catalina Island today at CatalinaVacations.com.
When there's good wine involved, they'll always come back for more. Grape Encounters continues on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Let's go to Lukin Rock, Texas, with Waylon and Willie and the boys.
Did you ever meet one of those people that you wish you had just followed around for most of their life? My next guest has had the most colorful career. It began in the mid-60s as a country rock band drummer. He was deeply involved in Waylon and Willie's outlaw movement in the early 70s. He has been a record producer, concert promoter. This is one very interesting character. His friends call him Buffalo Benford, but I'm so glad to have on the show Benford Stanley. People are wondering, what the heck is the wine connection with you?
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's Paso Robles, California, where I moved into this town. I grew up in small towns. It's 38,000 people with 300 licensed bonded vineyards.
Yeah, that's paradise, isn't it?
It really is.
What's the deal with a Texan and wine, though? You guys are supposed to drink tequila and Jack Daniels. I don't get it. But you're a big-time wine lover.
Well, when I got here, I came out to, do Hollywood, and I called it Merlot.
Merlot.
I didn't know much French or Italian, and really didn't know what Brie cheese was. But I pretty soon, though, you begin to appreciate and learn. And in doing the film business in L.A. and Hollywood, there's not a lot of beer drinkers. There's wine. So just by necessity, I started learning and came to Paso Robles. And then I'm at the University of Wine now, learning all grape itself and the growing in vineyards. And then here we're in a really special town. Paso Robles, has it's like a Norman Rockwell painting. Since almost undiscovered, just a place to be and create some new ideas here with wine and entertainment.
Well, that's definitely true. But let's talk about your history a little bit. Back in the mid-60s, you were in a country rock band in West Texas. You have been a concert promoter for most of your life, been in record production, and hobnobbing with some of the biggest names in country. Talk to me about some of the people that you've worked with.
Well, I'm bragging here now,
But that's all right.
These are the only names I can drop. I'm proud to say, in fact, I've got to work with Merle Haggard on the documentary stuff and toured with him and as a friend and worked with Willie Nelson. And about 4 years ago, I got a phone call from the guy runs, David Weiderman runs Hollywood, the Guitar Center
right.
Nationwide, all their publicity. He called me and he said, I got a project you might want to work on. There's not much money, but he'd be working with Eric Clapton and said, let's do it. And, more from West Texas is Oklahoma, and I'm going, Eric Clapton, and then got to, through a documentary I'm doing, got to get in touch with and now working with Bob Dylan. Through time, you just kind of work your way up, and you meet people, and you network, and then, you get at that level. There's just a small group of people really working together, so I'm fortunate to have gotten in that circle. That led me on into my first film festival that I do here in Paso Robles. I became an associate and now working with Clint Eastwood. I'm in hog heaven.
Let's talk about that Paso Digital Film Festival. It was the Paso Digital Film Festival, but now it's the Digital Film and Wine Festival, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was trying to figure after, 3 years of doing this, and I've had the likes of Clint Eastwood and Gary Busey and Kathleen Quinlan and Luke Perry and Gary Busey, all these incredible actors coming up and hanging out and then coming back the next year. Francisco Quinn, Anthony Quinn's son. And
right.
Just this, Paula Nelson, Willie's daughter. And I started figuring, well, maybe it's the wine. Our awards that we give to various filmmakers and honorary awards like Lifetime Achievement in Film, we etch the award on a label on a bottle of wine. So our film festival awards became a bottle of wine. With that, here in our little old town, the best venues are the wineries, the tasting rooms. We got some $40 million. So that natural place for me to do films and associate with these winemakers and wine owners to get involved in the film festival. It's made for a great blend.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but that is a very good blend. Well, let's talk a little bit about your other venture. You have a company called Wine Vignettes. The website is winevignettes.com. And basically what you're doing there is just pairing celebrity and wine, events and wine. It's a really great concept. Can you elaborate a bit?
Well, that idea of beyond the celebrities and with them is fun. They're fun with film and music. And so we're kind of pairing entertainment. That's another exciting thing here in town, that we feel like we can cover the events and produce the events, because these vineyards are beautiful. It's like taking the music out of the bars or taking the films out of the big old theaters that are so expensive and bringing it into the wine realm. So I saw it as just a great blend itself again. And so the Wine Vignettes, we're working on the website where you go there and you see films and videos, and like Paula Nelson now, these different celebrities, they have causes, so we pair that with the cause. So it ends up being a lot of fun. You might even remember there's a lot of fun wine music all the way from, you know, red wine and these. So we want to, as much as we can on this website, kind of like, which is a big part of the business, as you know, here is the clubs, the wine clubs at the different wineries.
Yeah.
So we kind of wanted we don't have a winery per se, we use a number of them here, but we wanted our website or our wine vignettes kind of to become an online wine club where you'll meet celebrities and have fun. See, not just Steve, go to the site to buy wine, but you can go there and have a lot of fun and see a lot of different elements of the film and music business.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept. And, you know, the thing that's, I think, most interesting about all of this is that when you associate wine with anything positive, whether it's music or film or any kind of experience, it makes both things better, doesn't it? The experience is better and the wine is better, too.
Well, it really does. You might know, we got one in here about 30 miles from us. I wish it was in town, but these Galaxy Theaters.
Yeah,
and then in L.A., you can go to the ArcLight, you can go to some of these theaters and have a glass of wine. And, I mean, boy, sure, you know what I mean? Versus a Coke, you know.
Yeah.
You know, or just sodas and popcorn. You can go in and have a nice wine and sit and watch a movie. There's a great blend to that. And that's part of, again, I think, what the wine culture, I'm seeing it, and something we did at our last film festival, I screened the movie Bottle Shop.
Yeah,
and
great
movie. And I had Mark and Brenda Lorimer, the producers of Bottle Shop, to come here to the film festival and talk about it. And I don't know if you've heard of the movie, came out last year, Blood into Wine.
You know, I have been dying to get that producer on. He's a... He's such an interesting character, and we're going to eventually get him on Grape Encounters. That movie is just simply amazing.
It is. I had the guys that came here, and we screened it, and even for me, it's very educational, much less the music element of it with, you know, Maynard from Tool and
yeah.
all. And so that there again, the idea was that, and we're going to do it again this year. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm working on this, and I'm 90% sure I'm going to have Rex Pickett here, who wrote the book Sideways, and who has his new book out called Vertical. So he's going to be one of our special guests. So again, this year, we've got a filmmaker from Italy who's done an incredible documentary on winemaking in Italy. So we're going to even be showing films about the wine. Film lovers and music lovers and baby boomers, if you look at the health aspects of wine, and then who's getting into this, who the Sideways and Bottle Shop generations are that made those movies, you know, incredible blockbusters. Let me put it this way. I've been in the film business a while, and I look at figures, and it's kind of known that it runs the gross receipts nationwide for the film industry is around $8
billion. Yeah.
And now getting in the wine industry, I was looking that in 2010, the California wine industry was a $40 $1 billion business.
That's an amazing comparison, Benford. I wouldn't have even imagined that. Well, listen, I so appreciate you coming on. We've got so much more that we got to talk about. So definitely mark your calendar in November. It's the 18th through the 22nd is the Paso Digital Film and Wine Festival. And then, of course, you want to check out everything that Benford Stanley's doing on winevignettes.com. We got so much more that we got to talk about, but I sure appreciate you being on the show, and we're going to keep listeners apprised of what you're doing. And of course, there is no shortage of celebrity winemakers these days. We could do a celebrity wine story every single week on Grape Encounters Radio and never run out of material. Another thing that there is no shortage of is words of wisdom from our gadget guru, Matt Dubow. He is a wealth of information when it comes to wine and all the goodies that go with it. That's coming up next on Grape Encounters Radio.
So what if this one's empty? We've got plenty more. Grape Encounters Radio on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
All right, well, there's no denying it. I have a gadget fetish. I have so many gadgets in my kitchen, and I love wine gadgets, but, you know, there's one thing that I use really every single day. It's an essential, and I don't know if you can really call it a gadget. I think it is something absolutely necessary if you're going to enjoy your wine to the fullest. I was sent a Vinair wine aerator, and this really is, I think, the best design aerator that I've ever seen. For one thing, there's absolutely no drip. For another thing, the amount of air that it puts into your wine, it seems to be absolutely perfect. It does an awesome job of opening up your wine to the absolute fullest. And I really, truly love this product. I really, really do. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to GrapeEncountersRadio.com. We've put a button there for the Vinair. Please, please let your wine breathe. It'll thank you for it.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
And it's David Wilson here with Brooks Firestone and Stephen Pepe, and we wanted to tell you about the Cellar Classic. It's coming up when, Brooks?
July 30th at the St. Mark's Church in Los Olivos in the middle of the wine country in Santa Ynez Valley. We're going to have a wine classic auction and a great time up here. Hope you join us.
And there's going to be some great stuff. Steve, tell them what they can expect.
We're going to have some really world-class wines. You've got a 47 Cheval Blanc, a 75 Chateau.
Whoa. I thought that was for me.
No, I'm sorry, David. You can just look at it and drool, but you can't have it.
And that bottle's worth what?
It's easily in the mid-four figures, if not higher.
Ouch. And how many wines like that will you have at the Cellar Classic?
We'll have a fair number. We've also got a 1949 Leroy Moussonet, which is a very rare wine. We've got a double magnum of a 1989 Diamond Creek Volcanic Hill.
It's the Cellar Classic on July 30th. For more information, go to GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the very expensive little button there.
Great products and services for the wine-loving community is something we love telling you about on Grape Encounters Radio. And at the top of our list is the Original Wine of the Month Club. They've been around since 1972 and offer many great discounts, cellar master reviews, amazing assortments, and gift baskets. And it's easy to set up a gift membership for a wine lover near and dear to you. Visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com and click on the link from the homepage. That's where you'll also find a special promo code and save 15%. Another fun product on the GrapeEncountersRadio.com site is the Wine Rack from Papa Bird. The Wine Rack is a sports bra that you can fill with your favorite wine, enjoy your favorite beverage, and enhance your figure, ladies. A special promo code is available from our homepage. Click through, use it, and save 10% just for being part of the Grape Encounters Radio family. Don't miss out on any of the other great deals available to you when you visit GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
There's something funny about this wine. Grape Encounters continues with David Wilson on GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
So, do you know people who collect things? I know a lot of people who do. I actually collect little miniature ducks. Maybe in a little while I'll explain why I do that. But I used to have a personal assistant who collected Beanie Babies. And there were times when she actually would ask for time off work so that she could go get in line to get the next Beanie Baby. Now, I know especially that there are lots of you who collect shot glasses when you go out of town. You collect those little silver spoons. But turns out that the new hot collectible is right here in our world of wine. And so I have dragged our wine wizard. He is our gadget guru, Matt Dubow. Matt is the vice president of Epic Style. You know what? I defy any of you to find anybody who knows more about wine-related products than Matt. In fact, I think we ought to have a reality show, you versus Matt, the world versus Matt, because Matt knows it all. How's that feel, Matt, to be so knowledgeable and on top of everything? It's pressure, isn't it?
You're really stretching it here, aren't you, today?
Well, I mean, I actually did a little digging to see if there was anybody out there that was selling more products than you are, and it turns out that you're so far out there. You're in another universe. EpicStyle.com should have its own zip code.
Well, I think we have a lot of different gift items for the person who enjoys wine, which sets us apart.
Gift items, but the truth is that I just like this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had a house full of your stuff before I even met you. And I feel like now that we're friends that I should get a discount at least, but I'm still paying full fare. But be that as it may, let's talk about collectibles for a second.
Okay.
The big collectible is what?
Stoppers.
Bottle stoppers.
So many bottle stoppers.
I mean, your showroom has hundreds and hundreds of them, and it's so strange. It hadn't even occurred to me that this was going to be a really big deal. But when did this start happening, and has it always been that way?
It's been that way for as long as I can remember, and we increased our amount of stoppers probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and we design probably 99% of our own stoppers. So we have a whole design department that comes up with these ideas.
So do people actually wait in anticipation for the next stoppers to come out? Do you get cards and letters and that sort of thing?
Happens? We do get requests, and it's just pretty interesting because they'll be like, are you coming out with a stopper that goes with this or that? So we get those requests all the time.
Okay, so I'm looking at some of the ones that you have here. The vast majority of the stoppers that you're making that are they're really art pieces, are they not? They're made from pewter?
Well, we have pewter. We have these that I have in my hand that looks like our barrel cork cage stopper that actually has a cork in it. And we have these new ones that actually haven't even come out yet.
Wait. This is really cool because it's got like a metal stopper at the bottom, which is kind of cone-shaped, and then it's got two rubber O-rings that give you a real nice tight seal.
Right.
But then it's got a little mini cork cage on top, and I'm thinking you're taking the actual real cork from the bottle, right?
Correct.
And you put it in there so it's available for people to look at, and also it doesn't have to sit on the table and then people play cork football with it, right?
You don't want to play cork football?
We will after the show, but first, yeah, this is very neat. I like this a lot. Where could they find this?
Oh, at epicstyle.com.
No, but I mean, where do they look? What do they look under?
Bottle stopper, cork cage bottle stopper.
Okay. So is there a search engine on your site?
There is.
Okay. That's always handy. So the thing is that people are actually, though, collecting these, right? And they will find artwork that is suitable for a gift. Like if somebody's into ducks, you probably have a duck cork stopper.
Right.
If they're into angels, you got lots of those, right?
Frogs,
dogs.
You name it. But I got to say, and I know we talked about this earlier, the ones that sell the best are the ones that are wine related. You know, whether they're grapes. Yeah.
Grapes or wine bottles or why do you think that is?
I think it gets back to, you know, we've talked about before where people decorate their homes in grapevines and grape-related themes. So I kind of think it carries over with that.
So do people actually put these in display cases? Is that what happens?
They, you know, it's funny because we do sell stopper displays, and we sell quite a few of them. And what people do is they'll put them in their cabinets and display all their stoppers. They'll maybe buy two or three different stopper racks and put the different stoppers in there. And they might not ever even use them. They'll just put them on display.
Yeah, I can see this as being a much better collectible than, well, Beanie Babies. It's not to rag Beanie Babies, but really, when you stuff one in the neck of a wine bottle, they just get all purple and they don't really seal the bottle very well.
No, they don't.
And the little spoons, they just fall into the bottle. And the shot glasses, well, we're all about wine here.
Right.
So, although you can take the shot glass and just put it over the top of the bottle. Again, not a very good seal.
Or use a shot glass, pour a little bit of wine in it.
How does this work? You know, each of these is really, truly a beautiful work of art. I want to know, first of all, you've got a team of designers that do this, right?
Right.
And how do they start out? Do they do this in clay?
Well, they'll sketch things out.
Yeah.
They'll do 3D models, and that's how the process starts. And we go and we get samples, and we adjust if there's things that need to be adjusted. But, yeah, it starts all off of the computer on a 3D design.
Then how do you get from that to, say, for instance, pewter, this one that I'm looking at here?
Well, we have to make molds. Based on the designs and see if there's any tweaking that needs to be done.
All right, I want to ask about this one because this one has a skull and crossbones.
Okay.
So what kind of wine would I use this for? Like one that's really bad?
Well, there's a pirate wine out there.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I would use this one. It's kind of scary looking, actually, and I would put it on a wine bottle that really I wanted to remember that I shouldn't drink, that it was like poison.
It was no good.
Yeah, okay. Now, you've got lots of purses and shoes, I think, are a big item for bottle stoppers. Well,
fashion is big. And we sell a lot of those purses, which you have. And look how detailed it is. It's amazing.
This is totally and completely amazing. I wish if you are near a computer that you would just log on to epicstyle.com and follow along with Matt and I as we look at these cork stoppers. But please try to pay attention because you can go back later and look as well. So that's really cool. This one, I like this one. This has a little stopper that says wine tasting open daily.
It goes with
that's
our.
That's my house. That goes. This one's real. This is a doorknob.
Well, it's a new collection that we have, and they're going to be coming out in July. And we have quite a few different. They're based off old time doorknobs, and so our designers came up with like 18 different styles.
What is this, porcelain?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Wow, you guys are classy.
We try
porcelain and again, what is this? This is
pewter.
Pewter. Wow.
It's just
I love this little top hat. Now, this one, this looks like stainless maybe to me.
And the reason why is because you can take this is a top hat, our top hat stopper, and you can take the top of it off.
No.
And you can pour.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay, let me explain this one. This just got me excited.
Whoa.
No, it got me excited. So it looks like this little top hat, and then you pull the top hat away from the brim, and it's a pourer. This is clever. Your idea?
No, I can't say that we...
Come on, just take credit for it. So yeah, that
okay,
was my
we
idea.
Designed it.
That was my
no,
idea,
I wish we. I wish we designed it. We didn't. Someone else's idea, but...
You're too good to your employees, I'll tell you that. That's for sure, because you should be just out there standing in front of the press, people going, Mr. DeBoe, that top hat stopper, was that your design? Oh, yes. I had just had a bottle of Montrachet, and I thought, what would be the perfect stopper for this? And I came up with this idea.
There's great designers out there.
Sorry, you didn't like that. All right. This is for weddings, his and hers.
We do a lot of wedding gifts, and this is just one of the bottle stoppers that goes along with this collection. There's another bottle stopper that goes with this that actually you can put a picture in. So
of the couple.
Of the couple.
And you can take that picture out if you get divorced and marry somebody else, right?
Right. Right.
Oh, that'll last forever. Okay. This is totally interesting. It is bottle stopper heaven. You know what? Forget about those stupid little spoons and those shot glasses. I hate when people bring me back shot glasses.
Oh,
I don't
really
drink anything that I would put in a shot glass.
What about plates? Do you
the
like
only thing you know, the
on
only thing I drink out of a shot glass?
A shot of whiskey?
No, NyQuil. That's it. And I seldom get a cold anyway because my immune system is so strong because of all the wine that I drink.
Oh, okay.
All right. So shot glass. Okay. So Stopper Heaven is located conveniently at epicstyle.com. Please check out the stoppers. Matt's got it all. Matt, thanks a lot again for adding a touch of class to Grape Encounters. We love your being here.
Oh, I love being here.
Well, a very informative discussion of wine stoppers, and that's also going to have to be our showstopper. We're so out of time, but not out of topics. We've got much more to talk to you about next week on Grape Encounters Radio, and you don't want to miss a second.
Join us next week for more Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson here on GrapeEncountersRadio.com. If you don't, we'll be crushed.